And new life is the topic of what I'm going to speak about this morning as well. If you're new here, you will not be aware that we are currently talking about what we're calling discipleship discussions. We want to develop some very simple resources that will just enable people in groups of two or three to sit around a table in a coffee shop or in a home and have some of those discussions that we need to have if we're going to grow in our journey of following Jesus, if we're going to try and be those people that God is calling us to be. So we're calling this discipleship discussions, resources to help people follow Jesus. And on the screen there, you'll see the values of who we are or who we're aspiring to be as a church. And if we want to do that, then we need to be able to talk together, to challenge one another, to encourage one another, and to talk about certain subjects. And the subject I want to talk today as we think about and celebrate new life is this subject, being born again, passing from death into life. Amen. Before we go any further into that, what we've become, starting to become accustomed to is talking to each other. We don't usually expect to do that, do we, in church? So there's a question to ask this morning. With somebody nearby to you, ask this question. What do you think is the most well-known verse from the Bible? Discuss, just for a couple of moments. Talk amongst yourselves. Okay, you can bring that little discussion to a close. And I'm going to ask a few brave people to shout out from where you are. What did you, in your little discussion, what did you think the most well-known verse from the Bible might be? I'm hearing a prevailing message right here. Let's preach. It's John 3:16. There are some other suggestions, and I'm up for other ones as well, because every word of Scripture is wonderful, but I did think that the prevailing thought would be John 3:16, and in the King James Version, it says it like this, "For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Amen? And it says so much about what the good news of Jesus is in one short verse that explains why it's become such a well-known verse. Now, many people can quote and recite John 3:16 because it's an excellent gospel passage. But not so many people understand the context of where that passage came from, who Jesus was speaking to, why Jesus was saying what he was. And we're going to go to the story about where this comes from in the Scriptures. And it's, surprisingly enough, it's in John 3. And we're going to begin at the beginning of John 3. We're not going to go all the way through. We're not going to go all the way down to this verse. I just wanted to create the context for it. If you are happy and able to see the words on the screen, feel free to read these words out loud. We just love declaring the word of God together at Elam Aberystwyth. Let's go. "Now there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, 'Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the signs you are doing if God were not with him.' Jesus replied, 'Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again.' 'How can someone be born when they are old?' Nicodemus asked. 'Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born.' Jesus answered, 'Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and of the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from. So this is everyone born of the Spirit. Thank you for carrying on. My iPad froze. God, thank you for your word. As we try and understand this particular passage and what it might mean for our lives, would you help us to be more like the people you want us to be, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. I think that being born again is kind of broken down into two sections. And we're going to look at the first section to begin with. Because usually, I think when we think about being born again, we think about the moment or the process of somebody at first becoming born again. And that is, of course, what Jesus is talking about in this passage. But I think there is also something that we need to look at a little bit later about what it means to be born again, to live as somebody who is born again. But to begin with, let's go with being born again, part A, which is that, if you like, maybe it's better to say it's getting born again, becoming born again. And we find ourselves in this story with Nicodemus. Nicodemus was a Pharisee. That means he was a teacher of the law. That means he understood all the religious rituals. It means he understood the law and the prophets. It means he, according to society, was about as close as it could get to somebody who understood God and knew God as possible. And yet, they'd recognized something about Jesus. And Nicodemus comes to Jesus to find out more. And he wants to know who Jesus really is and what he is really about. But interestingly, he comes to him at night. Because he didn't want to be seen. Because the people that he was surrounded with as a Pharisee, as a teacher of the law, familiar with the Torah, the prophets, and all of the religious rituals and all the things they had to do, his fellow Jewish religious leaders were skeptical of and threatened by Jesus and his ministry. And so he came at night. So he came under the darkness so as not to be seen, not to be associated. Why? Because he had recognized that Jesus was a teacher who had come from God. But there was a fear of that association. Interestingly, as the religious rulers, they would have been those who would be expected to know everything. In fact, Jesus, though he was a rabbi, would probably have been expected to ask the Pharisees for their advice. And yet here we see this Pharisee with a humility, but also doing so in the night. And Jesus says to him, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again." I think he was speaking directly to Nicodemus and to the Pharisees here, to their hearts, because he was saying, no matter what rituals you do, no matter what you do in your own strength, no matter what you know of the scriptures, no matter in your head, no matter what you do and what you know, that is not how you see the kingdom of heaven. In order to see the kingdom of heaven, you have got to be born again. And then Nicodemus, of course, as I would suggest you or I would do, when Jesus is trying to give a spiritual insight and a spiritual revelation, he goes back to the natural. And he says, surely you can't enter back into the womb a second time. Amen. Surely you can't enter. Jesus is giving him a spiritual insight, and he goes to the natural. There are many examples of this that take place in Scripture when Jesus is giving a spiritual revelation and the people can't see past the natural thing that's in front of their face. As so often happened, Jesus gives spiritual insight and the listener found it difficult to see beyond their immediate natural reality. And if we're honest, this could be the reality for us too, especially if we're not understanding the context of something. Yeah, my iPad is not working, sorry. So if you could be following along with me at the back, that would be great. So Jesus again says to him, So we have to allow the spiritual reality of what Jesus is teaching us through his word, through his spirit. We have to allow that reality to supersede what we see in front of our faces and what is in the natural. Imagine if you were to say to somebody who had no context, no idea, no knowledge of what it means to follow Jesus, and said to them, you've got to die and rise again in order to achieve salvation. With no context, that person's going to find that a little bit hard to understand. We have the privilege and the opportunity to read the scriptures, to know a little bit from our Christian background what it means to die and to rise again. But scripture tells us we've got to die to ourselves and be raised into resurrection life in order to be a Christian, to follow Jesus. And so it is so often that we need to allow the spiritual realities and truths revealed to us by the Spirit and in the Scriptures to supersede our natural understanding. Sorry, as you can tell, my iPad is not playing ball. Thank you very much. So Jesus answered, very truly, just put it down. Jesus answered, very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and of the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. Now the opportunity is just to see where we're at here. Okay. Technology's good when it works, isn't it? Just a second. I'm going to get to where we are, which is the next question. There we go. So turn to somebody next to you and have a little answer about this question. What do you think Jesus meant by the phrase born again? If we're trying to let the spiritual supersede the natural, what do you think Jesus meant? Have a little chat with somebody next to you. What do you think Jesus meant by the phrase born again? Okay, great. So, does somebody want to be brave and give me a little suggestion of what the word born again might mean? Yeah, go on. Governed by the Spirit and not by the flesh. I like the sound of that. Yeah. Taking off the old and being born into the new. Yeah, I like that. Giving your life to Christ. New creation. New creation, yeah. Come on. Yeah. Thanks, Lois. Yeah, a new birth in the Spirit that we receive when we accept Jesus. So this is the spiritual reality that we are invited into. And no, this isn't. Sorry, this isn't right, is it? These slides are not in the right order. I'm going to be looking at the screen with you from now on. Okay, here we go. So we have the two words that constitute the born again in the original Greek from the scripture, not because I'm a Greek expert, but because Google is very helpful for helping us to understand these things. But we get this geneo, which means to beget or to procreate, to produce, to bring about offspring. And we get this word, anothen, which means from above or again, from the beginning or from the top. And so we get the opportunity to have a completely new begetting, a new birth, a new life, and it's like we go back to the top again, but in a different different way. And so we have the opportunity to do so in God. And Jesus clarifies here for Nicodemus that he's talking about a spiritual awakening, a spiritual birth, a spiritual rebirth. And as a mother gives birth to flesh, so the Holy Spirit gives birth to us as we come to know Jesus and as we come to know Christ. And so entering the kingdom of God requires a new birth, like something that resembles a child coming in to the world for the first time. And so as we accept and know who Jesus is, as we have the opportunity to do that, then we come to that new birth and that new awakening. If you want to see the kingdom of God, then you have to be born again. And the invitation is open to all of us. Okay. Then we get to this verse, verse 9. The true light... No, I'm really struggling here without my notes. I'm very sorry. Just give me a second and I'm going to try and open them up in another way. I should give you another question to ask amongst yourselves. Oh, bear with me. Let's try this. That's not going to work either. Oh. The good news is I've got the dedication printed out, so that's old school, and we don't need to worry about me not having the correct prompts for that. Okay, so the fact that we have lost the ability to see the verses at the bottom of the screen isn't helping here, but this is the beginning of the Gospel of John in John 1. And he says this: the true light that gives light to everyone who's coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or husband's will, but born of God. We have the opportunity to receive the gift of life. It's not something that we can do for ourselves. It's not something that we can muster up for ourselves. We receive the life of Jesus, and we then have the opportunity to believe and trust in him and to walk in him and to put that belief into practice. And we can't be too prescriptive or definitive about how this works. Some people have come to faith in Christ through saying a prayer that they were led in, something that we might call a sinner's prayer. Some people have had a journey into knowing Christ. What's important is that we have a revelation of who Jesus is and that we have the opportunity to come alive in him by applying that, by receiving that gift of life, and by proclaiming that Jesus is Lord. And so although we can't be exactly sure about how it happens every time, and your story may be slightly different to somebody else's story, what we can be sure about is through whom salvation happens. There is only one person, and his name is Jesus. In John 14, he declares himself to be the way, the truth, and the life. And he says that nobody can come to the Father but through him. Jesus is the only route to the kingdom of God. And in trusting in him and believing on his name and confessing him as Lord, we become children of God and we have a new birth. We are born again by confession and faith in Jesus, which in Romans, it says, Romans 10 and verse 9, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. We can be born again through Jesus. He's given us the invitation and he is the way. Salvation and being born again come as a result of the realization of who Jesus Christ of Nazareth truly is and putting our faith in him. And the invitation is open to us all. But it's not something that we can do for ourselves. We need the Holy Spirit to reveal Jesus to us. we have, more than I expected in the last few weeks in the discipleship discussion, has been talking about the Ruach, or the breath of God. In the New Testament, the pneuma, in the Greek, the movement, the breath of the Lord as the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is the one who reveals Jesus to us. We are quickened, we are awakened, we are enlivened, we are invited to receive Jesus as Lord and to confess our belief in him through the Holy Spirit's work, which is why Jesus said in verse 7, "You should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from, where it is, or from where it comes from, or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." And it's Jesus' death that is the gateway to our life. In the passage that we started with, which is what we call the most famous passage in Scripture, it just before that it says this: "Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." So this is my attempt to take that most famous Bible passage, if you like. This is the Joel Amplified version of that verse, which tries to sum up what it is that the writer is saying. God the Father so loved the world, us, that he sent his only begotten Son, Jesus of Nazareth, into the world as one of us, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but may have or be born again into the imperishable eternal life by the Holy Spirit, the same Spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead. Amen? That is what we are invited into by this new life, by this rebirth. And this passage from 1 Peter, thank you, Louise, it says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." We are given this hope and this opportunity, and praise be to God. Amen? Amen. But here we come to being born again. So this is not about getting born again. This is about being born again. What does it mean to be somebody who is born again? Well, in 1 John, the letter that John writes, it says, "This is how we know that we love the children of God, by loving God and carrying out his commands. In fact, this is love for God, to keep his commands, and his commands are not burdensome, for everyone born of God overcomes the world." We're invited to a journey of overcoming the world through this rebirth. It's the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only what the one that believes that Jesus is the Son of God. So being born again does not just lead to a moment of change and transformation. It leads to a lifetime of eternal change. We are to live, therefore, as children of God, and that means living differently. That means that there should be a change. If we've come to know Jesus as our Lord and Savior and been born again, there should be a change. And if we're born of the Spirit, we're called to a life of love, to a life of fruitfulness, and to a life of victory in him, overcoming the world, the devil, the enemy, and the flesh. Being born again is not a title or a badge to wear. Some have in the past used it as a title or a badge to wear. I'm a born again Christian. Church, there's no other kind of Christian than somebody who has been enlivened and awakened to the knowledge, the saving, the need of salvation, and the saving knowledge and redemption and the righteousness that it has through Christ. And if you've had that awakening, that wake-up spiritual moment, and you've received Jesus as Lord, and you have confessed your belief in him, then the way that we live our lives comes with a responsibility. It comes with a privilege to live as the children of the Almighty God. Now, if you are part of a family, you will know some of the expectations and the values of that family. And you will hopefully want to try and live to some of those good expectations. Whereas the children of the living God, we are called to kingdom living, which is a life of love, a life of fruitfulness, and a life of victory over the world. Again, 1 Peter tells us, now you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth so that you have sincere love for each other. Love one another deeply from the heart. For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. Church, we are born again into the eternal kingdom family, born of the imperishable word and the spirit of God. So be born again. Live like somebody who is a child of God. Live like somebody whose sin and shame and past and pain has been forgiven. That has been given new life, that's been given a rebirth, and has the opportunity to live out that reality. So as we come to the close of what I want to share about this passage this morning, there's just a couple of questions. The first one is, have you been born again? Have you come to the saving knowledge of Jesus? Have you believed in your heart and confessed with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and that God raised him from the dead, as we sang about a few times earlier this morning? And the second question is for all of us, those of us who perhaps have come to the saving knowledge of Jesus and have been trying to live that reality. What does it mean for you today? What does it mean for you in whatever you're dealing with in your life to overcome the world through your faith in Jesus today? To live as a child of God. Let's just close our eyes for a moment, if you don't mind, as we pray in response to what we've been thinking about here. It might be that today is an opportunity for you to say, yes, I believe Jesus is Lord. I want to come to this place of faith in him. Holy Spirit is revealing to you that this is true. Jesus died for you upon a cross, and is inviting you to step into the new life he offers. If that's you today, just people's eyes are closed, I would invite you to raise your hand and we can pray together. And we can pray a prayer that will help begin that journey of following Jesus. Is there anybody who wants to know that experience of being born again today? Nobody this morning, and that's fine. But you may be wanting to explore more, think about this more, and encourage you to speak to the person who brought you to church or to get in touch with us if you want to know any more about what it might mean to follow Jesus in this way. And then this second question is for all of us. For you or for me, what does it mean today? What do I need to put into practice in order to overcome the world and live as one who is born again? What is that for you? Bring it before the Lord. Say, God, I'm bringing this issue to you, or this struggle to you, or this problem I'm facing. I'm bringing it to you. Help me live as a child of God in this situation to overcome the world in the name of Jesus. Amen.